My own understanding of the great work began when I was quite young. At the time, I was some 11 years old. My family was moving from a more settled part of a small southern town out to the edge of town where the new house was being built. The house, not yet finished, was situated on a slight incline. Down below was a small creek, and there across the creek was a meadow. It was an early afternoon in late May when I wandered down the incline, crossed the creek, and looked out over the scene. The field was covered with white lilies rising above the thick grass. A magic moment. This experience gave to my life something that seems to explain my thinking at a more profound level than almost any other experience I can remember. It was not only the lilies. It was the singing of the crickets and the woodlands in the distance and the clouds and the clear sky. It was not something conscious that happened just then. I went on about my life as any young person might do. Perhaps it was not simply this moment that made such a deep impression upon me. Perhaps it was a sensitivity that was developed throughout my childhood. Yet, as the years pass, this moment returns to me, and whenever I think about my basic life attitude and the whole trend of my mind, and the causes to which I've given my efforts, I seem to come back to this moment and the impact it has had on my feeling for what's real and worthwhile in life. This earlier experience, it seems, has become normative for me throughout the entire range of my thinking. Whatever preserves and enhances this meadow and the natural cycles of its transformations, good. Whatever opposes this battle or negates it is not good. My life orientation is that simple. It's also that pervasive. The universe story is our own story. We cannot know ourselves in any adequate manner except through an account of the transformations of the universe and of the planet Earth, and through which we came into being. This new story of the universe is our personal story as well as our community story. We have moved from a sense of time in which the universe revolves simply and ever-renewing seasonal cycles, into a universe that has emerged into being through a sequence of irreversible transformations, even while it is also revolving in an ever-renewing sequence of seasonal changes. Our greatest single need is to accept the story of the universe as we now know this as our sacred story. It could be considered as the most magnificent of all creation stories.
So much effort has gone into the work of articulating a vision. At the order of magnitude that is needed to deal with the issues of our times. The story of the universe, or the universe story as we've written it, can be considered as the epic work of our times, as the interpretation of the past, the identity of the present, and the guide to the future. It's not exactly because of its authors, but it's because we have been able to identify the story that's told by the universe itself is the story that we have told in the light of so much other effort that has come into being, but no one has put it together so much in such a significant way. It needs to be improved upon. It needs to be written over and over again. The most important contribution of this work as we see it is to begin the task by this recognition that our immense effort at a scientific understanding of the universe culminates in a supreme epic story beyond anything that humans have yet been able to narrate so fully from empirical data. It's on those dimensions that we must think. And one of the reasons is this. Effort to respond effectively to the pathology of destruction that is seized upon the industrial world of our times has taken control of the planet Earth, its resources, the media, the financial structures, the food, has taken control of just about everything. Now, this is the next thing that I'll read is something that needs to be understood with a certain clarity. While the human telling of the story is done by the authors, the story itself is told in every star that shines in the sky, and the shape and movement and sound of every earthly mode of being, and the song of a bird, the shape of a leaf, and the feel of the rain. We wish simply to bring the story to human consciousness and to celebrate the story as this is possible for us now that we understand for the first time from empirical observation the sequence of transformations that the universe has gone through in arriving at its present form. To know, reflect on, and celebrate this story and the deep mysteries of existence manifested through the story is seen as the proper role of the human in the universe. The indications at the close of the 20th century are that we must now enter into a new geobiological as well as a human cultural period that we refer to as the Ecozoic era. But we can only do it if we understand that this is a sacred process, that from the beginning, this story is a psychic spiritual dimension as well as a physical material dimension. This is not just a secular story. This is not just what's called a scientific story. This is the story that we know by looking at the universe. We're not planning simply for a new America. We're not planning for a new human mode of being. We're planning for a planet. We're planning on a scale of tens of millions of years. And we have to have a program. We have to have something on a scale that can carry the majesty of such a task. I'll call it the great work. We're about a great work. We all have our particular work. Some of us work in offices. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are healers. Some of us are in various professions. Some of us are farming. We have a variety of occupations. But besides the particular work that we do and the particular lives that we lead, we have a great work that everyone is involved in and no one is exempt from it. And that is the work of moving on from a terminal Cenozoic to the emerging Ecozoic era in the story of the planet Earth, which is the great work. Thank you.
universe story is our story, individually, and as the human community. In this context, we can feel secure in our efforts to fulfill the great work before us. The guidance, the inspiration, and the energy we need is available. The accomplishment of the great work is a task not simply of the human community, but of the entire planet Earth. Even beyond the Earth, it is the great work of the universe itself. We are now experiencing a moment of significance far beyond what any of us can imagine. What can be said is that the foundations of a new historical period, the Ecozoic era, have been established in every realm of human affairs. The mythic vision has been set into place. The distorted dream of an industrial, technological paradise is being replaced by the more viable dream of a mutually enhancing human presence within an ever-renewing, organic-based Earth community. The dream drives the action. In the larger cultural context, the dream becomes the myth that both guides and drives the action. But even as we make our transition into this new century, we must note that moments of grace are transient moments. The transformation must take place within a brief period, otherwise gone forever. In the immense story of the universe, that so many of these dangerous moments have been navigated successfully, is some indication that the universe is for us rather than against us. We need only summon these forces to our support in order to succeed. Although the human challenge to these purposes must never be underestimated, it is difficult to believe that the larger purposes of the universe or the planet Earth will ultimately be thwarted. We must feel that we are supported by the same power that brought the Earth into existence. That power that spun the galaxies into space, that lit the sun and brought the moon into its orbit. That is the power by which living forms grew up out of the Earth and came to a special mode of reflective consciousness in the human. This is the force that brought us through more than a million years of wandering as hunters. Gatherers. This is that same vitality that led to the establishment of our cities and inspired the thinkers, artists, and poets of the ages. These same forces are still present. Indeed, we might feel their impact at this time and understand that we are not isolated. In the chill of space, with the burden of the future upon us, without the aid of any other power. We are a pervasive presence. We are not lacking in the dynamic forces needed to create the future. We live immersed in a sea of energy beyond all comprehension. But this energy, in an ultimate sense, is ours not by domination, but by invocation. while there is no way of fully understanding the origin moment of the universe, we can appreciate the direction of evolution in this larger arc of development as moving from lesser to greater complexity and structure, and from lesser to greater modes of consciousness. We can also understand the governing principles of evolution in terms of its three movements toward differentiation, inner spontaneity, and comprehensive bonding. With this understanding, it would be difficult to overemphasize the magnificence of the evolutionary doctrine. It provides a grandeur in our view of the universe and our human role in it that is overwhelming. Indeed, in its human expression, the universe is able to reflect on itself and enjoy its grandeur in a special mode of consciousness, self-awareness. The evolutionary vision provides the most profound mystique of the universe. Our main source of psychic energy in the future will depend on our ability to understand the symbol of evolution in an acceptable context of interpretation. Only in the context of an emergent universe will the human project come to an integral understanding of itself. We must, however, come to experience the universe in its psychic as well as its physical aspect. We need to experience the sequence of evolutionary transformations as moments of grace, and also as celebration moments in our new experience of the sacred. As physical resources become less available, psychic energy must support the human venture in a special manner. This situation brings us to a new reliance on powers within the universe, and also to experience of the deeper self. The universe must be experienced as the great self. Each is fulfilled in the other. The great self is fulfilled in the individual self. The individual self is fulfilled in the great self. Alienation is overcome as soon as we experience the surge of energy from the source that has brought the universe through the centuries. New fields of energy become available to support the human venture. These new energies find expression and support and celebration. For in the end, the universe can only be explained in terms of celebration. It's all an exuberant expression of existence itself. transformation of human life indicated in this transition from the Cenozoic to the Ecozoic era affects our sense of reality and values at such a profound level that it can be compared only to the great classical religious moments of the past. It affects our perception of the origin and meaning of existence itself. It might possibly be considered as a meta-religious movement, since it involves not simply a single segment of the human community, but the entire human community. It is beyond the human order. The entire geobiological order of the planet is involved. History is governed by those overarching movements that give shape and meaning to life by relating the human venture to the larger destinies of the universe. Creating such a movement might be called the great work of a people. The great work now, as we move into a new millennium, is to carry out the transition from a period of human devastation of the Earth to a period when humans would be present to the planet in a mutually enhancing manner. Our own special role, which we will hand on to our children, is that of managing the arduous transition from the terminal Cenozoic to the emerging Ecozoic era, the period when humans will be present to the planet as participating members of the comprehensive Earth community. This is our great work, and the work of our children. Perhaps a new revelatory experience is taking place, an experience wherein human consciousness awakens to the grandeur and sacred quality of the Earth process. Humanity has seldom participated in such a vision since shamanic times, but in such a renewal lies our hope for the future for ourselves and for the entire planet on which we live. This is dedicated to the children, to all the children. To the children who swim beneath the waves of the sea, to those who live in the soils of the earth, to the children of the flowers and the meadows and the trees in the forest, to all those children who roam over the land and the winged ones who fly with the winds, to the human children too, that all the children may go together into the future in the full diversity of their regional communities.
Upturned paddle guides liquid to our dry mouths. Water within us, water surrounds us. A great mystery, our becoming dry at all. Replenish, replenish, all must be replenished. The water within and without. us, all that surrounds us. The great whistling pines, the tenacious beaver, the ancient loon. The rush of the young eagle's wings as it dips low over our canoe. Replenish the eyes bathed in this delicate solitude. This trembling eternity called back in mid-sweep only to be assessed by greed-parched eyes. Replenish each shriveled heart which has its moments only at events set aside for its song. But cannot fly for the connection between the rock and the human body, the heron's wing and the hope in our souls. We go on, our paddles dance with the lake water to the music in our throats. We will grow dry again, perhaps leap into the water, a small and symbolic celebration of a great and endless task, which gracefully undertaken might allow us all to go on.